Welcome once again to Leto's Law. Here's Steve Leto.
I did a video not so long ago about how the government had seized a bunch of deposit boxes in a private business in California. And they were like safe deposit boxes, but they weren't in a bank. They were in a private business. And apparently the FBI had gotten a warrant to go in and seize stuff from the business that ran this box place. And the warrant said they could go in and do this because they suspected that the business was running an illegal operation out of that location. And so a lot of people pointed out and said, wait a second. So if they rent these boxes to people, what gives the right to them to go in and seize the contents of those boxes? Because they know that those boxes and their contents are associated with other people, not the owners of the business. Well, it gets worse. It gets worse. And it just got worse because it's now been revealed that the warrant that the FBI executed specifically excluded the contents of the boxes. Now, there's a way they worked around this with like a loophole, but it does not look good. This is what we call bad optics. Brian passed this along to me from Reason.com. Eric Boehm wrote it. The FBI seized heirlooms, coins, and cash from hundreds of safe deposit boxes in Beverly Hills, despite knowing that some of it belonged to honest citizens. So, for instance, a woman discovered that the FBI had seized the contents of her safe deposit box almost by accident. And by the way, in her box, $100,000 in gold and silver coins, family heirlooms, a diamond necklace from her great-grandmother, and an engagement ring she'd promised to give to her own daughter. Now, a friend of hers asked her if she could recommend a convenient and secure location for keeping valuables. So she searched Yelp to look up the phone number of U.S. Private Vaults, which is the Beverly Hills facility where she herself had rented a box since 2017. That's when she saw the sign on their website that said, permanently closed. Permanently closed. So she had a bit of a panic, made some phone calls, and then she and her husband, and they don't give their names here, but they're doing that on purpose, figured out what happened, and that was the raid on March 22nd when the FBI went in and raided U.S. private vaults. They had a warrant that allowed them to seize property belonging to the company, even though the warrant explicitly exempted the safe deposit boxes. It did not exempt the structure in which they were placed. It also did not include the contents of those boxes. So the FBI seized 800 boxes and the contents in the boxes when they seized the structure itself. Now, the husband tells Reason.com there was no attempt made by the FBI to contact him, his wife, or their heirs, despite the fact that the contact information for them was taped to the top of their box. They actually had put the information on the top of their box. 6 weeks later, they're still waiting for their property to be returned, and the FBI and federal prosecutors, meanwhile, have no authority to continue holding the possession of some 800 bystanders who are not alleged to have been involved in whatever USPV may have done wrong. That is a California attorney speaking named Benjamin Gluck, who is representing several people caught up in this raid, and there are now also 5 lawsuits pending in federal court. So far, none of them have gotten anywhere. So the FBI still apparently has all the stuff they grabbed in the raid. A federal grand jury had indicted U.S. private vaults on counts of conspiracy to distribute drugs, launder money, and avoid mandatory deposit reporting requirements. In legal filings, federal prosecutors have admitted that some, and that's a quote, some of the company's customers were honest citizens. Some of them were. But contend that the majority of the box holders are criminals who used USPV's anonymity to hide their ill-gotten wealth. And the question is, how would you know that? Do they have evidence of that? Was there evidence of that put into court where people can see it and go, okay, that makes sense? Whatever the original motivation for the raid was, the FBI's seizure of hundreds of safe deposit boxes held by U.S. private vaults raises serious Fourth and Fifth Amendment issues. In order to have the contents of the boxes returned, feds are now saying that you can come forward, identify yourself, describe your possessions, and then they'll consider giving your stuff back. Why couldn't you just go in there and say, I'm box 13? And somehow, do that. But I understand that you couldn't just say just the number. But I'm assuming, for instance, you might have a key? I mean, this is not as complicated as they want to make it. And the reason is that they clearly want an excuse to open the boxes up and go, oh, so you're the one who had the Diamond Tierra and the Ferrari key. So they dig through all the boxes looking for the box that's got those two items in it. They go, okay, this is your box? Okay. Now that just gave an excuse to dig through every single box, or at least all the boxes until they found what they're looking for. So some owners might be unwilling to identify what's in their boxes. And of course, people want to say, well, that's because they're criminals. Well, some people also like their privacy. I'm not hiding anything back here. But if the FBI showed up and knocked on my door and said, Steve, can we dig through your studio for a while? I'd have to say no. On principle, I'd say, you know, there's nothing in there. I mean, there's a bunch of stuff, but no, I'd prefer not to. And they said, why not? I said, well, you know something? I'm an attorney, and I tell people all the time that they've got rights, and so I kind of got to stand up for my own once in a while just to kind of prove that. So an attorney named Robert Frommer, an attorney with the Institute for Justice, wrote an op-ed piece for the Orange County Register, where he says, the Constitution does not abide guilt by association. What the government's done here is completely backward. The government cannot search every apartment in a building because the landlord is involved in a crime. After all, when somebody rents an apartment, that apartment is theirs. And likewise, when you rent that box and put stuff inside of it, that space is yours. The unsealed warrant authorizing the raid of U.S. private vaults granted the FBI permission to seize the business's computers, their money counters, the security cameras, and the nests of safe deposit boxes. And the nests are the large steel frames that effectively act as bookshelves for the boxes themselves. So you've seen this, I'm assuming, where somebody goes into a bank or a place that has safe deposit boxes. You put the key in, you slide the box out, you then take the box and put it on a counter, and you open the lid up. And so the box is self-contained. It's not like a drawer. It's actually self-contained. And so that box, and when it goes back in and gets locked in place, there's a framework around it. That framework they refer to as the nest. And so they had the right to seize the nest, but they did not have the right to seize the boxes or the contents of the boxes. And again, make sure this is clear, the warrant does not authorize a criminal search or seizure of the contents of the safe deposit boxes. It's according to a copy of the warrant contained in court filings. The warrant also states it authorizes the seizure of the nests of the boxes, but not their contents. So the FBI's own policies seem to have allowed a roundabout legal rationale for seizing the boxes. Agents are required to take into custody property that could otherwise be stolen or left in a dangerous manner. So to put it in the context of a simpler situation, if the FBI seized a truck carrying cargo, they wouldn't just dump the cargo by the side of the road. Instead, there's a specific procedure for law enforcement to follow, which involves identifying and notifying rightful property owners, as well as securing the property. Well, let's assume for a moment that you have a key that's unique to your box. You should be able to go to the FBI and go, I've got a key, and I can fit it in that box, and that's mine. That should do it. But they're going to say, well, no, we need to see what's inside the box for some reason. In court filings, they've argued, the attorneys have, that the seizure of the nests does not appear to be government's true purpose here. Does not appear to be the government's true purpose here. A reasonable person could easily conclude that taking and searching the contents of the boxes was the true purpose of the USPV seizure and not just an unintended but unavoidable byproduct as the government seeks to portray and justify it. Now that the FBI has nearly 1,000 safe deposit boxes in its custody, anyone who comes forward to identify themselves and claim their possessions risks becoming a target of a criminal investigation. How'd you get that? Where'd that come from? Explain that to us. The U.S. Attorney's Office of the Central District of California told the Los Angeles Daily Journal last month that each box is being considered on a case-by-case basis. They will consider your box and decide whether or not you get it back. And we will investigate the boxes or claims made on them to determine if the contents are related to criminal activity. Okay, it gets us back to civil asset forfeiture, where they look at something that you've got and say, I wonder if we should keep that. I wonder if you should be forced to forfeit that. I wonder if you can prove that that's yours. Attorneys of the plaintiffs argue this amounts to an admission that prosecutors intend to use any information gleaned in the claims process in order to conduct criminal investigations. U.S. private vaults had assured its customers that their anonymity would be protected, and people could have valid, non-criminal reasons for wanting to keep their identities a secret. Some people just want to keep their business private. The rights violations are bad enough, but the FBI raid seems to have had serious procedural shortcomings as well. One woman reported to the attorneys that she may have lost a significant portion of her life savings due to what legal filings say are shoddy inventories of the safe deposit box's contents. In the lawsuit filed shortly ago, the FBI failed to account for or return 40 gold coins worth an estimated $75,000 that had been stored in a safe deposit box housed at U.S. private vaults. Department of Justice documentation detailing the contents of her box makes note of miscellaneous coins without any specific numbers or identification of the coins. Her note, according to her attorney, is that obviously the description of miscellaneous coins could be some pennies or it could be a box full of $20 gold pieces. So it remains unclear whether the government even possesses an accurate accounting of what was in her safe deposit box when it was seized. Miscellaneous coins instead of 40 gold coins. Miscellaneous coins. Despite the broad claims of criminality from prosecutors, the woman mentioned above has been charged with no crimes, but may have lost tens of thousands of dollars of her retirement savings anyway. Even if the FBI's raid of U.S. private vaults eventually uncovers criminal activity, that hardly seems to justify the potential losses incurred by innocent bystanders like that woman. She kept her retirement savings there because she distrusted the banking system, according to court filings. And here's the thing. There are people out there who seem to think that if you own, like, gold coins, you're doing something wrong. Interestingly enough, gold has been a decent investment lately. Now, I don't want people to argue with me about that. Right now, gold is near historic highs. And so if you bought these gold coins at the right time, they've gone up in value. Okay? So there are different investment things you can do with your money. And if you want to put your money in hog futures, in gold coins, in Serbian currency, whatever you want to do with your money, that's up to you. And you know something? There are people out there who do eccentric things with their money. It turns out they were right and they made wild profits. There's people out there who do eccentric things with their money and then they forget where they buried it. I mean, you know, so it's not up to us to judge what somebody else does. And so the idea that this woman has got her life savings, she's 80 years old. She's 80 years old. She had 40 gold coins, okay? Now, I suppose if you want to, you can grill her about that and ask her what, you know, how can she prove she's not a criminal? But I think that that's backwards. This is America. She's an 80-year-old who has 40 gold coins. She somehow saved up money and got that. And if you don't have any evidence that starts off by saying there's something criminal going on here, I think the presumption is she's innocent, right? Shouldn't that be the presumption? I don't know. Call me crazy. So it was improper that the government seized those possessions in the first place. Unconscionable that they're using them as hostages to pressure owners to divulge private information, and outrageous that they apparently treated the possessions so carelessly they may have lost at least some of them. An attorney for another customer, identified in court records by a pseudonym, tells the Los Angeles Times the FBI's raid is as illegal a search and seizure as I've ever seen. So I know a lot of people were not sympathetic to this story when I first ran it because I said, you know, there's a private company with a bunch of boxes. You could be anonymous. You have a box. People are saying, oh, Steve, it's obvious these are criminals. Obvious. I actually know a surprisingly large number of people that I think are not criminals who like their privacy and don't want people knowing about their stuff. And the idea that you can take your stuff and put it underneath your pillow, you can bury it in your backyard, or you can go put it in a box that's anonymous at some company like this in Beverly Hills. I don't actually see a big distinction between those three. And so the idea, let's just flip it on the other way. You know, the FBI sees you burying money in your backyard. So they go dig it up and say, there's something wrong here. You buried money in your backyard. No, it's an American tradition. But here's the real point. The FBI had a warrant. Warrants, generally speaking, have extremely detailed descriptions of what they cover and do not cover. And here it listed things like they could go in and seize the computers, the cash counting machines, the security cameras. They could do that. It specifically said they can seize the framework around those boxes, but they were not allowed to seize the boxes and the contents as part of the search warrant. Now, I agree with what you're going to say. Obviously, the FBI's got to do something. They can't leave it laying on the floor of the business. Okay? What they need to do is take that structure someplace, put it someplace, and when somebody walks in and goes, one of those boxes is mine, they'd say, how do you prove it? And you say, I got the key. That should do it. Walk over, stick the key in, the key works, boom, you're good to go. That's what would have happened if it was still in the building and hadn't been removed by the FBI. So it's a strange story to begin with. It's gotten stranger now that we know this. And to follow the analogy made by the attorney, and this is a brilliant one, and I had several people actually raise very, very similar arguments in the comments below the video I did previously. And that is that let's assume that the guy running this business is running a criminal enterprise of some sort. That doesn't make everything around him fair game. And so he's renting boxes to people. Let's assume that some of them are not criminals out of the 800 or 1,000 people. So he rents a box to somebody. That doesn't make you a criminal just because you're renting a box from a guy who is. You know. And so the idea, for instance, that a landlord could be a criminal, they can't come in and search all the apartments and say, well, you know, your landlord's a criminal. This is what we do. It's not how it works. So it's an ugly case, but it appears that they did this simply because they could, and it might even be a test case. They might be doing it to see if they can get away with it. So I think it's important that we talk about this and you know, get a little upset by it because it upsets me, and none of my stuff was grabbed. So the FBI seized heirlooms, coins, and cash from hundreds of safe deposit boxes in Beverly Hills, despite knowing some belonged to honest citizens, and despite the fact that their warrant specifically excluded some of the stuff they grabbed. Brian sent it. Thanks a lot. Eric Bohm wrote it for Reason.com. Great article. Questions or comments, put them below. Let's talk to you later. Bye-bye.
Thank you for watching Leto's Law.
Winning an argument with your spouse might also be the way you like to order your steak. Both may be rare.